Cleon then saw the value in taking these soldiers alive, because they would be security against future Spartan invasions of Attica. Remember the Spartan strategy of the annual invasion? And moreover, they would give the Athenians an upper hand in peace negotiations. So Cleon rightly advised the Athenians to reject Sparta's offer and to besiege Sphacteria with a view to capturing those Peloponnesian hoplites on it. Now, this is a heresy. I didn't start my remarks on Cleon by saying you're going to hear a heresy, but I'm pretty sure that you worked this out along the way. I like Cleon. I don't think he deserves the bad press, and I'm going to defend him a lot in this lecture. Now, the siege of Sphacteria was entrusted to the aristocratic and wealthy general Nicias, and his background made him a natural enemy of a demagogue like Cleon. For some reason, Nicias wasn't able to capture the troops on the island. And as the siege grew protracted and costly, the initial euphoria of the Athenians dissipated. This is normal human behavior. You're euphoric at the start, and then as something carries on, you start to get disillusioned with it. Why is it taking so long? The Athenians' discontent is shown at an assembly meeting at which Cleon attacked Nicias for his inefficiency. Now, Thucydides tells us about this assembly clash. And what he does, though, which I find very interesting, is that he gives us the speeches of Nicias and Cleon in reported or indirect speech. He doesn't quote them, you know, verbatim in inverted commas, like he quoted verbatim in inverted commas the speeches of Cleon and Diodotus in the Mytilene debate. Cleon apparently tore into Nicias for his bungling and for his caution, and he began to boast that if he, Cleon, were in charge, he would end the siege. Apparently, says Thucydides, this appealed to the crowd of citizens present, who shouted even more in favor of Cleon. And Thucydides goes on to say that this shouting was normal for a mob. And this is how he contemptuously calls the people, because of the political power they have. Thucydides very much dislikes the power of the people. Now, we get reminded again then of the view that the aristocrats had to popular power. And we also get an insight into how noisy assemblies could be. And let's not forget the point I made in a previous lecture, that if the statistic is right, that only about 20% of the people present could hear about 85% of what was going on. Now, according to Thucydides, Nicias suddenly called what he thought was Cleon's bluff, and he told him to go and do the job if he thought he could do it better than him, Nicias. When Cleon couldn't wriggle out of the situation, as he tried to do at first, and as the crowd cried out even more to him to go to Sphacteria and capture the troops there, he suddenly requested Demosthenes as partner in the venture. He demanded various troops, and then he declared dramatically that he would return victorious in 20 days. Now, the Athenians laughed at this, says Thucydides, because they knew they would win either way. In other words, either Cleon would live up to his promise. Thucydides calls it a mad promise, by the way. Either Cleon would live up to his promise, and so they'd end up with Spartan prisoners in Athens, which would be a good thing, or he would die trying to capture them, and hence all of Athens would be better off without him. Now, to everyone's surprise, Cleon and Demosthenes captured the Spartan troops on Sphacteria, and they brought them back to Athens within 20 days. Apparently, they just set fire to the island. And of course, people run from fire, so they were just waiting at the other end and mopped up. Now, of the original contingent of 420 soldiers, only 292 were left. but 120 of these were Spartiates. So these 120 Spartiates were indeed a prize capture. And although the war continued, the presence of Spartan prisoners in Athens ended the annual invasions of Attica. And that's something that Cleon had predicted when he said, we need to take these Spartan troops alive.